Welcome to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Today, Hank wraps up a discussion he began yesterday with Jay Richards, research fellow and director of institutional relations for the Acton Institute. They've been talking about how the planets and stars point to a creator. Today's broadcast was previously aired. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Day two of our conversation with Jay Richards. He is the co-author, along with Guillermo Gonzalez, of The Privileged Planet, How Our Place in the Cosmos is Uniquely Designed for Discovery. Also the DVD, and we're really promoting this DVD as hard as we possibly can, and that is because I've personally, in my own family, seen the benefit of this DVD. It is spectacular, breathtaking. In fact, about the book, Joshua Gilder, former White House speechwriter, says, Privileged Planet is simply a beautifully written piece of work, lucid, compelling in its presentation, and even the most lay of lay persons will fly through its pages, barely able to put the book down. Well, what is said about the book is squared when it comes to The Privileged Planet, the DVD. It is an incredible, you just can't be without this resource. I don't know how to stress it any more urgently than that. Get this resource. It'll be one of the best resources you've ever had as a Christian. It's available when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. I want you to understand, I've seen a lot of these resources, and there are a lot of great resources out there. So when I say this thing is spectacular, I'm really making a statement here. Again, you can order it at equip.org. You can also write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, the book and the DVD, do pick those up. And again, Jay, we are absolutely delighted to have you on the broadcast.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Hank. Thanks.
I want to really stress something that we talked about a little bit yesterday, but again, I think this is a subtle point you're making in the DVD, but it's a huge contribution to this field of study, and that is that the same narrow circumstances that allow us to exist also provide us with the best overall setting for making scientific discoveries. We say that, it rolls off our tongue, but I want people to understand the significance of this. Could you underscore that for me?
Sure. I mean, the basic idea is that things that life needs in the universe also provide the best conditions for scientific discovery. So complex life needs a certain kind of atmosphere on a planet, mostly nitrogen and oxygen rich. Well, it turns out that when you get that atmosphere is also transparent to the type of light that life needs from its nearby star, so that the light doesn't all bounce off, so the life can't get it. And it's also transparent to the light that is the most informative about the universe around us. In other words, we have an atmosphere that allows us to exist and also allows us to peer into the distant universe. And it's not like that just, you know, had to happen. I mean, actually, most of the other planets in our solar system that have thick atmospheres, the atmospheres are opaque. So if you're on the surface of Venus, for instance, you wouldn't be able to even see the other planets. It's also about 900 degrees. That's basically the idea. So the best place for life in the galaxy is also the best place for doing astronomy at the galactic scale. The best kind of planet for life is also the best kind of rocky planet for being able to make geological discoveries and so forth. So that there's this connection, this pattern in the universe between the things that life needs and the things that are needed for scientific discovery. So observers find themselves in the best places for observing.
All the right conditions to support complex life. I want you to elaborate for a moment on the fine-tuning hypothesis and some of the great features that you have in this regard in the DVD.
Sure. I mean, we talk about what are called the sort of local fine-tuning factors, those things that you need in a local environment, like a planetary system. So, for instance, you need to be on a rocky planet if you're going to have life. It needs to have a stable surface. That planet needs to be just the right size so that you have the right kind of a active core that produces a magnetic field around the planet that protects the surface. The planet needs to be around the right kind of single star that has the right kind of energy that's not too variable in its output. You need to be the right distance from that star in the so-called Goldilocks zone. You need to have a large, well-placed moon to stabilize the planet's tilt and to help with the tides. You need to have planetary neighbors like we have. This is something people don't realize. But if we didn't have these large gas giant planets in the outer part of the solar system, we'd have a lot of visitations by the comets in the outer part of the solar system. And I like to say that comets are sort of like your crazy aunt. You know, you don't want them visiting your neighborhood too often. But because we have this big Jupiter and Saturn out here in the outer part of the solar system, we're protected from most of those visitations. Then you need to be in the right kind of galaxy, something large like the Milky Way, and you need to be in the right place in the galaxy at the right time in the history of the universe. That's just kind of a really short, simple laundry list of those factors that you need to be just right in order for life to even be possible. And this isn't even addressing the question of the origin of life itself.
Jay, does the traditional theistic worldview of an intelligible universe have any impact on modern science?
Certainly. I mean, many have said, the philosopher Whitehead said that modern science essentially draws on the interest on basically theistic worldview. I mean, this is something we talk about in the book, but the reality is that modern science was birthed in a Christian and theistic culture in the Renaissance and late Middle Ages in Europe. And that wasn't a coincidence, because Christians and Jews believed that the universe was rational. They believed it was the result of a rational choice by a rational God, so that we could expect it to be ordered. We could expect it to be comprehensible. It wasn't just some blind illusion or some sort of random concatenation of atoms. And you can read the early scientists, read Kepler or Copernicus or Galileo or Newton especially. I mean, they really did believe themselves to be trying to uncover God's handiwork, to look at what the world was like and to think God's thoughts after him, as they often put it. Now, this idea has drifted. It's disappeared, so you don't hear a lot of modern scientists speaking in these kind of theological terms. Nevertheless, if you think about the enterprise of science, this continual search for meaning and purpose and order in the universe, that's an underlying assumption, that without which science would not be so much as possible. That makes a whole lot more sense in a theistic framework than it does in a materialist framework, where you have no reason to expect that we're going to be able to uncover complicated theoretical principles that can explain things that are, you know, that vast reaches from our everyday experience, either at the microscopic scale or at the macroscopic scale. But nevertheless, we continue to discover these things. And frankly, I think this is why physicists and astronomers are often more willing to talk about purpose and design even than biologists, because they are struck with the reality of this order and the surprisingness of it, that it'd even be possible.
We're talking to Jay Richards, The Privileged Planet. The Search for Purpose in the Universe is a must DVD purchase. Get it today through the Christian Research Institute. Jay Richards and his co-author Guillermo Gonzalez, authors of The Privileged Planet, are just incredible resources to the world of scientific discovery. And they have made an incredible contribution. You don't want to miss these magnificent resources. Again, they're available when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org, or write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Book and DVD, one of the most significant investments you can make for you, your kids, your church. These resources are available and usable in so many different formats. Do get this resource today. Can't stress that highly enough. Jay, I want to talk for a moment about the basis of Big Bang cosmology. All the galaxies in the universe are receding from each other. What are the implications of that fact?
Well, you know, a lot of folks don't realize it, but in the 19th and early 20th century, most scientists actually assumed the universe was infinite and eternal. And it's what Carl Sagan said in his Cosmos series, "The Cosmos is all that is or ever was or ever will be." Well, Sagan said that in the 1970s, and so he's about two generations behind. Because what happened in the early 20th century is that we started to discover evidence that suggested the universe wasn't eternal. And this was quite contrary to what people actually expected. But the astronomer named Edwin Hubble, whom most people have heard Hubble as the Hubble telescope, just named after Hubble. Well, Hubble was able to use a large 100-inch telescope in the 1920s, which at the time was the biggest telescope in existence. And he discovered, as he started being able to measure distances to distant galaxies, that these galaxies were redshifted. And what that basically means is that the light was shifted toward the red part of the spectrum. And the farther away a galaxy was, the more it was shifted toward the red part of the spectrum. Well, the red part of the spectrum is the longer wavelengths, as opposed to the blue light, which is shorter wavelengths. And so what this suggested is that the light from these galaxies was stretching on its way to us. And this suggested essentially that the universe is expanding in every direction. Now, what's interesting is that Albert Einstein, in his general theory of relativity, had actually predicted that the universe should be either expanding or contracting. But he thought, well, that can't be right. We know the universe is static and eternal. So he actually introduced an equation, a so-called fudge factor, to try to keep his equations from suggesting the universe was expanding or contracting. And then he heard that Hubble had actually made a series of discoveries that suggested the universe was expanding. And so he actually, Einstein ended up taking a trip out to California to look through Hubble's telescope, and then he announced to the press that it was the greatest blunder of his scientific career. Well, the implications were staggering, and many scientists said so at the time. They said, well, look, if the universe is expanding, then if you reverse the tape, it would start contracting. And if you work that back far enough, that would mean there would be a time, sometime in the finite past, at which all space, matter, time, and energy would have to have come into existence. And at that point, many scientists said, look, that, you know, this is crazy. This can't possibly be so. And the atheist cosmologist named Fred Hoyle came up with this idea of the Big Bang. He said, you people are suggesting a Big Bang. It was actually a pejorative term, but that's what actually stuck. And then in the 1960s, some scientists named Penzias and Wilson discovered the so-called background radiation, which is sort of a leftover relic echo of radiation from the early history of the universe. Now, theologically, I think it's profoundly important, because as long as you're assuming the universe is eternal, then you don't have to answer the question, where did it come from? A person could just say, well, it's always been here. It's the thing that explains itself. But if the universe came into existence in the finite past, then surely anything that begins to exist must have a cause for its existence. And in this case, the cause would have to be outside the universe. It couldn't be the universe itself bringing itself uncaused, you know, out of nothing. And this, again, I think led to many scientists considering, frankly, the theological question, where did the universe come from? And in fact, Arno Penzias, who the co-discoverer of the background radiation, he won the Nobel Prize, and he said, this is exactly what I would expect if I had nothing but the five books of Moses. In other words, the first five books of the Bible. The universe had a beginning. And many times Christians don't realize, they'll sometimes get caught up in the debate about how old the universe is without thinking of the prior question, which is this belief that almost all scientists have now, that the universe is finite. It began to exist, and that's hugely important theologically.
Maybe we should underscore that again. It's one of those points that oftentimes is a point that's suspect in the Christian world. Big mm-hmm. Bang cosmology suggests something other than a theistic worldview. And while that is supposed, the reality is exactly the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, with Big Bang cosmology, people should understand it doesn't claim that the universe just bang, came into existence from nowhere. It's not, in fact, a causal theory at all. All it says is that there was a time in the past in which the universe was much hotter and much denser, and then, you know, in fact, there was a point called a singularity, a point of infinite density and zero volume, in which the universe is expanded from that. This would be a point that's very, very highly ordered and fine-tuned. It'd be the very opposite of an explosion where things blow up and are chaotic. But then the question is, what caused that? And that's a question that's not answered by Big Bang cosmology. And frankly, materialists have been trying to figure out a materialistic answer to that for about 80 years now. And the best they've been able to come up with is this idea that there are just infinite universes everywhere, and that explains the design in this one away. But I think, frankly, that it's one of the most powerful arguments, at least arguments with theistic implications, to have emerged from modern science.
You mentioned Albert Einstein just a bit ago, and he said the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible, and went on to say, I have a deep faith that the principles of the universe will be both beautiful and simple. What's the impact of a prodigious intellect like that saying?
What he's essentially saying that if you want to know what the universe is like, you want to discover truth, you look for a beautiful theory, one, and that beauty will lead you to truth. And physicists like Einstein have always said this. It's not that, you know, that the universe looks like it's cobbled together, but rather that there's some kind of elegance and beauty, and that there's a connection between truth and beauty. Well, that is a deeply theological claim. In fact, it's rooted in the Christian tradition, that God is the true and the good and the beautiful. And so the idea that beauty, theoretical beauty, should lead you to truth, I mean, that's a strongly theological claim. It certainly has ripe theological implications. And Einstein himself, I mean, wasn't exactly a theist. Maybe he was a pantheist or something, but he nevertheless had this kind of residual conviction that the universe was rational and it was comprehensible. But it's surprising. I mean, if you're really a strict materialist, it's completely unexpected that the universe would be comprehensible to the human mind.
We're talking to Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet, the most habitable places in the universe, also offer the best opportunity for scientific discovery. I believe that this implies purpose. That's by Jay's co-author Guillermo Gonzalez. The Privileged Planet, a DVD, a must for your family, for your church, for your Bible study group, for your kids. Make sure if you have kids, they see this. Probably the best inoculation they'll ever get. The Privileged Planet, also available in book form, both available to the Christian Research Institute as a special bonus buy. Order today. 888-7000-CRI is the number to call. Equip.org is the website to go to. And we can't urge you strongly enough to get these resources right now as I speak. We'll be right back with Jay.
Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years, and we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
How did life begin? It's an age-old question that Charles Darwin attempted to answer. For years, his theories on evolution went unchallenged, until today. Unlocking the Mystery of Life is a compelling DVD presentation as contemporary scientists advance the theory of intelligent design. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Using biochemical evidence and state-of-the-art computer animation, Unlocking the Mystery of Life brings into question old and accepted theories while casting concrete new evidence to unlock the mystery of life. It transports you into the interior of the living cell and explores the wonder of DNA, bearing the unmistakable evidence of a creator designer. Unlocking the Mystery of Life, available on DVD, is yours through the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Is the existence of life on Earth simply a fluke? Are we alone in the universe? People have spent their lives answering those profound questions. Our guest Jay Richards argues the cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet. Simply call 888-7000-CRI to order, or find it on our website at equip.org. And now we return to the Bible Answer Man. Here's Hank.
I got to tell you, Jay, you and Guillermo, for being brainiacs, are incredible communicators as well, and you don't often find that combination.
Thanks, Hank. I appreciate that.
You are welcome. You know, yesterday we talked about solar eclipses opening up a portal to the physics and chemistry of the entire observable universe,
yeah.
but that's just one in an entire class of evidence or a new way of arguing for intelligent design, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, almost anything you pick, the first example that we use between this connection between life and discovery happened to be the coincidence of perfect solar eclipses, just because that's the one that frankly occurred to Guillermo. He mentioned it to me in a conversation after this article had been written on eclipses, and I said, hey, what if this was true generally? That is, what if you went through all the things life needs, so the right kind of planet, the right kind of star, and it turns out that those were just, you compared that to all the sort of other places you could be in the universe. And you said, what if it turns out that those are all the best things you'd need for doing scientific discovery? So that's what we actually did in the book. I spent about 3 years just basically working our way through it. So we talk about the geology of the Earth. We have these moving tectonic plates on the surface of the planet. We have just the right tilt of our planet so that we have these ice caps. And the ice caps actually preserve layers of the Earth's past, just like basically like a tree does. It preserves these layers. Well, if you didn't have a hydrological cycle like the other planets lack, you'd have really very little information about what happened in the past. You'd have very little way, for instance, of testing these global warming scenarios, because this, you know, the evidence of the past climate actually gives us an objective way to test those things. If we didn't have just the right kind of star, there'd be a lot of information that simply wouldn't be available. If we weren't in the right place in the galaxy, weren't between spiral arms, we couldn't even see distant galaxies. And so, in other words, we wouldn't have been able to make Hubble's discovery. We would never have been able to answer the question, did the universe have a beginning or was it eternal? Well, the answer to that question required that we be able to see the universe in these large scales so that we could see the redshift of galaxies, because it's only visible at these very large scales, really at the scale of clusters of galaxies. So really one of the most crucial questions you could ever ask about the universe, has it always been here or did it begin, would not have been answerable by the methods of science unless we had a clear atmosphere, a night sky, and we're not perched in just the right place in the galaxy to be able to see beyond our home galaxy.
Jay, one of the things I often fear when I get into discussions like this is that the discussion ends up going over people's heads, and they say, you know, all of that's good, and it gives me confidence in the Christian worldview and intelligent design and so forth, but, you know, quite frankly, this is just too heady for me. When I watch The Privileged Planet, I mentioned this yesterday, I watch it for the first time with a 10-year-old, my 10-year-old yeah. son, Paul Stephen, and he was riveted. And this is quite a statement in a day and age in which kids have all kinds of DVDs at their disposal.
Oh, yeah.
They have television. They have stimuli from all kinds of directions. For a kid to sit in front of this DVD and be not only riveted but ask one question after another, I think says something about the incredible production of this and the fact that everyone that gets the DVD is not going to be bored by it, but they're going
yeah.
to be intellectually excited by it.
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is, I mean, credit should go where credit is due to Illustra Media. I mean, this is an incredible production team that Discovery Institute has partnered with now. It's our second documentary with Illustra. They did Unlocking the Mystery of Life as well. They did animation in this documentary that had never been done before. the galaxy animation, for instance. We have an entire chapter in the book, it's about 40 pages, describing our place in the galaxy and why we need to be where we are for life to be here and for us to be able to discover things. Well, it's much easier shown than described. They took a 40-page argument and basically in 5 minutes with this incredible digital animation. They actually used smoke software to produce this galaxy. And you can fly in and out of the galaxy, as you see it in the documentary. And it's just so much easier, so much better to explain to people. And I've had a lot of people that have told me, you know, I never did quite get, you know, what's the galaxy and the universe and the solar system. But when you see it animated in that way, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I'm pleased to hear, I love when I hear that intelligent 10-year-olds enjoy the documentary, because frankly, they're the future. I mean, in the intelligent design movement, those are the people we're interested in. It's the students whose minds are open to these arguments that we expect to really change things in the next generation.
Wow. And The Privileged Planet, The Search for a Purpose in the Universe, available right now. Give us a call, 888-7000-CRI. Log into the World Wide Web at equip.org or write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We're going to go right to our callers. We got so many people hanging on. We give them an opportunity to speak with Jay Richards or right to the phone line. Scotter in Yonkers, New York. You're on with Jay.
Hi, Hank. You're such a blessing. But I work in an area where I am surrounded by intelligent, staunch evolutionists. And I have been banging my head for an effective way, sort of like an outline, I guess, to communicate intelligent design. And I'm looking for help in that area.
Sure. Yeah, well, you're looking sort of for the one-stop shopping. And so it is hard to just find this in one place. Certainly, I mean, there's a lot of stuff actually on this on the Bible Answer Man website. There's also stuff available free at the Discovery website, discovery.org. We have hundreds of articles on intelligent design. If you're talking specifically about biological evolution, there are a lot of books. There's the book by Jonathan Wells, Icons of Evolution, that just talks about the strong sort of pieces of evidence for Darwinism. That's a book, you know, that can be read in a weekend. It's the sort of thing that, you know, once you hear some of the stories, you realize, oh, yeah, of course, I guess I maybe should have known this all along. But most people, frankly, don't know how bad the empirical evidence for Darwinism is.
Well, I've got a lot of the resources. I've got a lot of Hank's books, and
yeah,
what I'm looking at is more like process-wise. How would you? Because as I tried to communicate different facets, you know, for example, when I try to point out the uniqueness of our position in the solar system,
right,
The fact that, okay, even if natural selection can account for certain things that have happened recently,
right,
it doesn't explain our origins, and to which they answer, well, you know, you Christians believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old, and I said, well, that's not necessarily true. You have old Earth and young Earth Christians, but.
But, of course, the opponent is always going to want to attack you at the perceived weakest point, you know, and they often do that. I mean, sometimes in these discussions, it helps to ask a preliminary question. And this is my favorite preliminary question. If the universe existed for a purpose, how could we tell? Is it possible that there could be evidence for purpose or design? And get someone to commit on that beforehand, because very often, a lot of these debates, frankly, I mean, I talk about this stuff all the time. I almost never get asked a specifically sort of difficult scientific question. Rather, I'm told, well, intelligent design, you know, science can't consider that, or you're just doing religion when you talk about that. What people are saying is that, you know, they're not willing to consider whether there could be evidence for such. But if someone's willing to say, yes, I think there could be evidence for purpose or design, then you could say, okay, well, what would count? What would you think would be a fair piece of evidence in that regard? And if people are willing, if they show themselves open to the very possibility, then I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff available, and it's available in a lot of stuff, in Hank's books, in Lee Strobel's books. The Case for a Creator talks about this stuff. But very often it's kind of a prior disposition not even to consider the possibility that there could be evidence for design. So they want to say, well, everybody just has theological assumptions, and they impose it on the evidence. But Christians at least believe that the universe itself proclaims God's glory day after day and night after night. And so if people are willing to at least say they're open to that, frankly, I think that's a sign of grace. But that's sometimes a more helpful preliminary question, rather than trying to either list the problems of evolution or maybe give isolated examples of design, because people, frankly, have to dispose themselves in that way before they're going to be available to consider the evidence in the first place.
Jay, I'm thinking, as you were speaking about the privileged planet and the fact that it would be an incredible resource or tool to reach out to people who are skeptical and have objections that are not sustainable. But I'm also thinking at the same time that there are a lot of Christians out there that sort of have their faith shaken a little bit by some of the arguments. Oftentimes the arguments aren't good, but they simply haven't thought through these things. This resource is an incredible tool for helping you when those winds and waves of doubt crash upon your shore.
Absolutely. I mean, this is I think of the evidence for intelligent design as both being pre-evangelistic. It can kind of lay out the case against materialism, and materialism is often an impediment to faith. But also, the reality is that a lot of Christians maybe were quarantined, you know, in high school, and they get to college or someplace, and they get overexposed, and they don't have any way of handling these things. And so, we certainly hope that it will be faith-affirming and strengthening for Christians that are struggling with these issues.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jordan in Los Angeles, California. You're on with Jay Richards. Hi, Jordan.
How you doing, Hank? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had a question for Jay. I had heard that as a result of the Big Bang, that all of the planets and moons were spiraling outward in a clockwise fashion, and that this was, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is one of the laws of thermodynamics. But in reality, some of the moons and maybe even planets are spinning counterclockwise, and this would somehow defy evolution's law of thermodynamics. I don't know if this is true or not. Is this true, and does this, would that disprove evolution's, some evidence for evolution?
Well, first, you always have to define the word evolution. Usually evolution means something like Darwin's theory of biological evolution, but then it's sometimes used in this kind of wider sense for like the evolution of the cosmos. But there, it's really just talking about how the universe kind of changes over time. The reality is that there are a lot of unknown questions about, you know, how the universe sort of holds itself together, how the sun forms and those sorts of things. So that Big Bang cosmology, at least, doesn't actually address or shouldn't be being used to address questions about the origin of individual solar systems. It deals more with the kind of the origin of the universe and the expansion of the universe itself at the level of galaxies. But when you get to the local scales, that is to the sort of level of solar systems where you have planets and individual stars, the Big Bang cosmology really has nothing to say about the orbit of planets. And certainly, you know, even within our solar system, you have all these, basically 8 of the 9 planets are all in the same plane, but it's not really well understood, at least that is understood in kind of purely naturalistic terms, why the planets orbit as they do, you know, why they're even in the same plane. Pluto is actually in a kind of a completely different plane than the other 8 planets. So a lot of that stuff, and honest astronomers will tell you, look, you know, there are a lot of speculative scenarios, but we don't have a way of explaining a lot of that stuff, and some of it, you know, is open to research. But there aren't, you know, I wouldn't look at that sort of thing as a piece of evidence that's sort of ripe either for deconstructing or for strong evidence for design. Rather, I think the evidence for design that's going to be apparent in a lot of these areas is going to be at the kind of wider scale. That's why we talk about this pattern between life and discovery, because you can discern that pattern even if you aren't able to answer the question, okay, why do all the planets orbit, you know, either counterclockwise or most of them or what have you.
Privileged Planet as a book is wonderfully written. It's lucid, it's compelling, it's accessible. And it is available to the Christian Research Institute. We've made it available as a package offer with the DVD, 888-7000-CRI, the number to dial to order, or you can log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back with more of your questions for Jay Richards. Please don't touch that dial.
When looking at the night sky, our guest Jay Richards argues the cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet. Simply call 888-7000-CRI to order. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or find it on our website at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Don't go away. The conversation's just heating up. The Bible Answer Man will continue right after this. Since the beginning of the modern environmental movement, secular environmentalists have claimed that historic Christianity is largely responsible for today's environmental problems. The issue, however, is not what Christians think or how they behave. It's what the Bible teaches with regard to environmental stewardship. Should Christians be concerned about the environment? Dan Story answers this very question. The average American spends some 5 hours a day watching television. As a dominant cultural medium, television deserves serious attention from apologists who wish to demonstrate the difference between ideas promoted in popular culture and those within the Christian worldview. Robert Velarde demonstrates how to use this medium to reach our society and defend your faith. All of this and more can be found in the pages of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years, and we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you've been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
And again, we're privileged to host Jay Richards. He, along with Guillermo Gonzalez, have written The Privileged Planet, The Privileged Planet DVD, The Search for Purpose in the Universe. It is an Alestra Media presentation that is exquisite. I just can't say enough about it. Again, I've watched it with my family, and you should with yours as well. You should use it in your Bible study groups, in your churches, in every kind of venue that you possibly can. It is one of the most powerful tools, not only as pre-evangelism, using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or opportunity for sharing the good news of the gospel, but I think, too, as post-evangelism, a means of building you up in your faith, shoring up your faith. When you have winds and waves of doubt, this kind of a product can do so much to get you back to the basics. I know that God created the universe. That we're not functions of random chance. And then you can, of course, go on from that to recognizing that God is not merely transcendent. He revealed himself in time and space and demonstrated that Jesus Christ is God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and that the Bible is divine rather than merely being human in origin. Again, these kinds of resources are so important, and I feel it a great privilege to have the opportunity to be able to be here in this position, letting lots and lots of people know that this is a resource they need to have in their homes and churches. Again, order 888-7000 CRI, log into the World Wide Web at equip.org, order online, or simply write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Jay, before we go back to our callers, a quick update from you on where you think the intelligent design movement is leading us.
Well, I would say that 2005 is the year that all Americans that watch TV or read the news will have at least heard about intelligent design. We've had two front page stories on us in the New York Times. There's a cover story in Time magazine, USA Today. Almost every national publication has discussed it. In fact, three nationally syndicated comic strips that make references to intelligent design. I would say that we're certainly not out of the woods yet. I mean, people have often said that ideas go through three phases. First, they're ignored, then they're attacked, then they're accepted. And we're well into the attack phase, for sure. I mean, intelligent design, I mean, if taken seriously, is fundamentally contradicts the materialistic worldview. And materialism occupies what Marx called the commanding heights of culture in universities and influential pockets and funding organizations, so that those folks don't take this lightly. But the reality is that if intelligent design is based on the evidence of nature, that's public, and we don't control that. That's out there. And we think, ultimately, the truth will out. So we're optimistic and in some ways feel like we're sort of along for the ride. We have the privilege of living at a time in which truths are being revealed about the natural world that weren't available, frankly. Some of the stuff that we talk about in The Privileged Planet wasn't even known 10 or 15 years ago. And so in some ways, I would almost say nature seems to be disclosing itself, this book of nature that the Bible says, proclaim God's glory. It does that objectively. It does that actively, quite apart from human beings, whom Paul says in their sin turned from the Creator to the created things. But that just means that our antennas are not tuned to the right frequency. It doesn't mean that, the truth isn't beaming out there. So I'm very optimistic about the prospects for intelligent design. Whether people like it or not, school boards around the country are bringing up the issue. And actually, at Discovery Institute, all we're interested in doing is, at the moment, really seeing the evidence for and against Darwin's theory be taught, so the theory would be taught honestly. We don't actually recommend that intelligent design be required or coerced from the top down. We just think teachers should be free to talk about it without being threatened with suit from the ACLU. But if the evidence for design is strong, then it will eventually percolate up culturally, and it will naturally be discussed in the public school classroom because it'll be what a lot of other people are talking about. But at the moment, it's certainly a point of major controversy.
Yeah, I think it's incredible, as you mentioned, that we live in a particular epoch of time in which there are scientific discoveries that I think could very well pose a death knell for Darwinian evolution. You look, for example, 19th century science would look at a fertilized human egg and say, well, that's simple, a microscopic blob of gelatin. Today, we understand it is an incredibly ordered, complex structure.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's funny that we're still holding on to Darwin's theory of evolution. I mean, he proposed this in 1859. It was a Victorian theory, very little known about life at the microscopic scale. Now we discover nanotechnology, information processing software, self-organizational abilities that we can't begin to replicate in human technology. And, you know, I mean, I think, frankly, that it screams design if you don't have materialistic blinders on. But remember, that stuff wasn't known until the 1950s. I mean, without the telescopes that allow us to extend ourselves to the reaches of the universe and microscopes and electron microscopes, this is part of nature that was there for all of history. But it is available to us now. And this is information, frankly, that, you know, I think has profound implications, both for the death knell for materialism, but also for theistic belief in general.
You know, you mentioned that Darwin was a product of his time. I mean, if you look back at Darwin's beliefs, I mean, he was a sexist. There's no question about that whatsoever. He also had strong racial overtones in his writings. And I wonder, in a politically correct society, why he's still politically correct.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, if you read his Descent of Man from 1871, I mean, he describes a time, he says, in the not-too-distant future in which the higher races, and we know who he's talking about, will, you know, basically exterminate the lower races. And, I mean, it's just blatantly racist. And many of Darwin's disciples, like Ernst Haeckel in Germany, were eugenicists. And eugenics in the United States until World War II was accepted prevailing opinion. It wasn't even controversial that, you know, there are different races of human beings, and there's some that are higher on the evolutionary scale than others. And so it really is amazing. I mean, it's sort of the elephant in the room that no one will talk about. One of my colleagues here at Discovery Institute wrote a book last year called From Darwin to Hitler. He's a German historian, and just sort of connecting the dots. So I really do think, I mean, I think 50 years from now, if we're still here, we will be looking back and saying, you know, gosh, that was sure a crazy idea. That was almost as crazy as Marxism. But at the moment, even to question Darwinian orthodoxy is to risk tenure or your job, certainly if you're in academia.
It's an incredible thought to recognize what you just said about the possibility of evolution vanishing like eugenics. But it is an amazing thing. You look at Theodore Roosevelt all the way to Margaret Sanger. They supported eugenics. And the Rockefeller Foundation supported eugenics. Now nobody wants to admit that.
No. And it all follows. What's strange is you hear people talking about, well, there was social Darwinism. And the implication is that this is something that's kind of strange and alien to Darwinism. But it follows directly from Darwinian principles. I mean, if wide-scale death and natural selection and random variations is what gives you biological complexity, then that's the source of creation. And so anything that would seem to violate that would be sort of to violate the order of nature. So eugenics, this idea that, you know, you basically weed out the weak from the gene pool, it follows from Darwinian principles. And so I don't think it can be so easily detached from Darwinism. Now, it's a separate question whether Darwinism is true or not. It might have horrible moral implications and be true. But when you actually look at the evidence for Darwin's claim, it's amazing how little it explains. Yeah, it certainly explains, you know, bacterial resistance in the context of antibiotics. But, you know, when you're talking about new body plans or new organs, it seems almost completely powerless.
Yeah, for evolution to succeed, it is as necessary that the unfit die as that the fittest survive.
That's right.
Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in California. You're on with my guest, Jay Richards. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
You're on with Jay Richards.
Great. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show today. It's been great. I've been noticing that, I'm a tutor. I tutor math and science to junior high and high school students. And I was wanting to know if there's a workbook available for my students to use and or even for me to pull some questions out.
Specifically dealing with the Privileged Planet?
Yes.
At the moment, we're actually working on that. There's a study guide. The book has been used by some college professors in courses, and so we have a study guide that actually my co-author is going to jab me because he's wanted us to finish this for some time. And we're actually going to probably finish it in the next few weeks, and it would be available at the Privileged Planet website at privilegedplanet.com. And it's basically, that's what it is. It's going to be a study guide. And then an organization in New Zealand has actually been promoting the documentary, and they're developing a study guide for the documentary. And so that should be done probably in the next couple of months, and then you could certainly check at the Privileged Planet website, privilegedplanet.com, and download it from there.
Jay, that gives us a perfect opportunity to once again talk about the features that you do have, and there are some incredible features on this DVD beyond the actual presentation.
Yeah, I mean, there are something like 15 questions from the people that are interviewed. A lot of really good stuff that I know that the producers were depressed not to be able to get in there, but the documentary was produced for PBS, and so that has very strict limits, 58 minutes and 30 seconds. And as a result, there's a lot of really good stuff that is just added on. And that's the virtue of a DVD, is you get all that stuff free, and it's designed kind of for an educational context, either what's the anthropic principle or what did Copernicus really discover, and all these questions that sort of surround the documentary as a whole.
There are so many people that want to talk to you, Jay. I hope you'll visit us again sometime in the near future. We deeply appreciate your work. We pray for you and support you and pray that God will richly bless you and extend the borders of your ministry.
Thank you, Hank. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, my friend. And, of course, The Privileged Planet is available through the Christian Research Institute. We have been talking about it for the last several days, and we're just saying this is one of those must resources for every single Christian out there. You want to get this resource. It is a resource that will bolster your faith. It's also a great evangelistic tool. It's the kind of thing you want to watch in a Bible study group. Churches should be showing this to their membership. This is something that families should be watching together. It is a stunning, magnificent presentation, something that you will be so glad you ordered. It's available through the Christian Research Institute, along with the book. However, you can get it as a package deal. Again, The Privileged Planet Package is available when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. And as we close today's broadcast, it is so urgent for me to let you know that this is listener-supported radio. We need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, it would be a great privilege for us to have you on board. You can do that by giving us a call at 888-7000-CRI and just letting people know there, whoever answers the phone, say, I want to join the Bible Answer Man support team. You can do that online at equip.org, and you can also send your contribution to the Christian Research Institute right now when you write us a letter at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thank you so much for joining us today in an incredibly insightful broadcast with Jay Richards. Get the products, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Before we sign off, we have some important things to mention. We want to thank Jay Richards for joining us on the Bible Answer Man. Also, when we think of outer space, most people will immediately think of science fiction, strange-looking aliens, and spaceships. But there is a reality and a science to the heavens and the earth, and they point to the reality of a creator that made it all for his glory. Find out more in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. To order, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also contact us by mail at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. For faster service, visit our website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.
Does science disprove God, or does science actually point to the existence of God? Ask Lee Strobel. In The Case for a Creator DVD, Lee Strobel re-examines the theories that once led him away from God. This 60-minute program is a compelling adaptation of his personal journey from atheism to faith in God. Interviewing scientists and Christian scholars, The Case for a Creator DVD leads you on a fascinating journey. With its outstanding computer animation, it uncovers captivating discoveries from cosmology, cellular biology, DNA research, astronomy, physics, and human consciousness. It will provide you with the answers you need to present an airtight case. The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel, now on DVD. Your copy is waiting for you when you call CRI at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find this and other works by Lee Strobel on our website at equip.org.